Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am thrilled to have on the phone with us today Paige Samuelson Nelson, and she is a 2006 graduate of Hastings High School. She also is a nurse, and she's calling us actually from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. She's going to tell us about what she has been up with during this pandemic. So first of all, we want to say hello to you. I'm so thrilled that you called in today. Thank you so much.
Of course. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing just great. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am married for about 7 years, and I have two little boys, 5 and 4, Everett and Fletcher. I live in Edmonton, Alberta currently for my husband's job, so I've been at home with the kids for about 1.5 years and waiting for my license to transfer up here and just enjoying the scenery and everything that Alberta has to offer.
So we don't know too much about Canada, even though they're our neighbor. I don't think we can name, you know, probably all the provinces and all that, but tell us where Edmonton is located, please, and a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So there's on the west coast, there's British Columbia is right on the coast, and that has Vancouver. Some people know about that. And then we're the next province over, right above Montana. And we're about 5 hours north from Montana, 3 hours north from Calgary. And it's really close to Banff National Park, and it's quite beautiful.
You know, I bet it is. So tell us what you knew about Edmonton before you moved there.
To be honest, we didn't know all that much about Edmonton, besides it was a city of about 1 million people, and it was about 4 hours away from Banff and about 3 hours from Calgary, so we had lots of options for things to do and things to see, and we were pretty excited.
I bet
for
you.
A new experience.
Yeah, I bet you were, and how fun for your kids, too, to live abroad like that for a while. That's pretty cool to live in another country.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things my husband and I wanted for our kids as they grew up, for them to, you know, see the world and definitely see different places and how they work and different cultures.
You know, I know in Quebec that French is really a language that is spoken almost as much as English. What about Edmonton?
Edmonton, definitely not as much, but definitely the second language in Canada wide is French. So all of the signs, instead of like in the United States where it says it in English and then in Spanish, here all of the signs, all of the products on the shelves in the grocery store, it's in English and in French.
So you have been working as a nurse when you were in the United States, and what kind of nursing did you do?
My primary specialty is ER nursing, critical care.
And so when you were in Edmonton and you were home with the kids, I'm sure you sort of felt helpless with this pandemic going on, knowing that you had skills that could be used.
Absolutely. It was, yeah, just sitting at home watching the news and knowing that I had a valuable skill set that was being not utilized at all. It was, it definitely was heartbreaking.
So tell us what you did.
One night I was at home just, you know, of course, on social media, talking to my husband, telling him about all these people who were just in desperate need of help, and reading him all of these articles about New Jersey and New York. And he was like, well, why don't you go help? And I was like, you would be okay with that? And he was like, well, yeah, now's the time. Like, it's summertime. Like, the boys are home from school because of school being canceled. And so I was just doing some research on travel agencies, because there's nurses that you can travel to different cities. They do contracts for a certain amount of time. So I was just doing some research on different companies and the benefits and all that sort of stuff. And I just sent out some feelers, and I prayed on it overnight. And literally 24 hours later, I had a contract in hand, so to speak, to go to New Jersey. And a week later, I left.
Wow. Do you think that if you had had more time to think it through, you might have gotten cold feet?
I definitely. Something that I'm a little bit grateful for, because even like in packing, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm from a small town. Like, who do I think I am? Like, what am I doing?
So you wouldn't trade that experience for anything, I'm sure. What was it like to leave, though? Because you probably didn't know when you'd be back.
my contract was for 8 weeks, so I definitely had like a minimum time that I would be there, but they said that they would extend if need be up to 13 to 16 weeks. So it was definitely daunting to know that like my kids are so young and like they don't really understand why I'm leaving, but yet like it's so important, and I hope that, you know, I set a good example and am a good role model for them growing up, knowing that if people need your help that and you are able, that you should.
Did somebody help your husband with your children?
Yeah. Before I left, I had been researching, because I've been applying for jobs here in Edmonton. Just in case I got a job, I was talking to some of the younger college kids in the area, and we had found a couple and had interviewed them and kind of put them on standby just in case we needed somebody. And we found this wonderful college student who was going to school to be a teacher, and she was on a volleyball team nearby university. And she was like, yeah, I can start next week. All my classes are online, so like no problem. So it like everything kind of just fell into place, and it was kind of, it gave me this sense of calm that like kind of there was a bigger power at play, that this was meant to be just the way that everybody kind of like rallied together and kind of made it work within a week of me getting a contract and leaving.
It sure sounds like it, Paige. So when you went to New Jersey, did you go with a group of people or were you the only nurse coming in?
It was just me from Edmonton, but the agency that I worked with was sending people from all over. So I ended up working alongside of solely travelers. So usually as a travel nurse, you work alongside people from that hospital. But this hospital went from being a 45-bed ICU hospital to 165 beds with ICU capacity. So they brought in people from all over the United States and just put them on floors to work like wherever they could. So there was about four or five different agencies of people who had brought in people, not in groups, so to speak, but definitely for a specific purpose. ICU nurses, ER nurses and such.
So being an ER nurse, obviously you're used to chaos and nothing goes as planned, I'm sure, but did it prepare you for what you saw?
No, not at all. Usually in the ER, it's controlled chaos, and here it was just like having four patients in an ICU is not normal. And definitely having, like, there was codes being called all day, every day for the first couple weeks that I was there. So you're just running from one patient's room to the next, trying to keep them alive all day.
What time frame are we looking at that you're talking about?
I arrived April 14th. It was about a month after, like, their crazy outbreak. I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that, they were really struggling It just kind of stayed that way for about a month and a half there.
How do you describe it for somebody that can't even imagine what you went through?
I mean, it's just kind of mass chaos. Like, you're just running around doing the best that you can every day and trying to, you know, be there with these people because they don't have family at their bedside. They don't have people advocating for them. Like, you are it. So you have these patients that are depending on you to advocate for them, keep them alive when they don't really know how to treat this illness that they have never treated before, but you're just doing everything that you know how every single day to try to keep them alive for the next shift, for the next day, for the next week. All the IV pumps are outside the room so that you don't have to put on all of the PPE to go in the room every single time. People are crashing and trying to pass away, and you have to put on all of your PPE before you can go in to save them. So you're trying to like protect yourself as best you can while trying to care for these very, very sick people.
Did you have enough of your equipment to do what you needed to do?
Yeah, so there were some days that we ran low and we had to use different supplies or get different supplies from different departments, but we reused a lot of our materials, and they had a process where they were using UVA rays to sanitize N95 so that you could reuse them for 2 days.
And that's the mask?
Yep, that's the mask, the respirator that keeps out the COVID particles.
So when you went there, the hospital was super, super overcrowded. And how did you deal with that? Or did you have 12-hour shifts? Where did you stay?
Yeah, it's 12-hour shifts. You stay until you get relieved. And luckily, they had enough staff most of the time that you can leave on time. But I was working 5 to 6 days a week, whereas normally a nurse works 3 days a week and then is off for four.
So did you have an apartment or did you stay on site?
I stayed in a hotel down the street. A lot of the, if you're a member of a professional organization like the Emergency Nurses Association, they have the ability to give you free hotel stays with the Hilton hotels. So that was really nice.
And did the Hilton hotel worry about you coming back and forth, being exposed to COVID?
They never made it seem that way, but they did have limited resources. So you got a breakfast in a brown paper bag, and you, if you wanted new sheets, you had to strip your own bed. They wouldn't clean your room unless you like asked them to, and then you could get new towels, new sheets, if you ask for them, and then you just leave your garbage outside the room so that they don't expose themselves, because they have such a high rate of nurses inside their hotel that they didn't want to risk their staff being exposed. Mm-hmm.
And what was it like for you emotionally?
It was pretty difficult. I think working the amount of days I did a week, it helped kind of just you compartmentalize your hit of work. Just you go in, you go out, and then you have like 1 or 2 days off. I never had my days off in a row because the more that I sat at the hotel, the more I thought about my kids at home. But I brought along my kids' books so that I could face them and read to them at night. So I think that really helped me stay connected with them and give me some sort of something to look forward at the end of the day.
What are some of the stories that you will never forget, some of the people that you cared for?
There was actually one person who was discharged, so I saw her the day that she was admitted, the day she got intubated, and then a month later, when she got discharged, I was able to wheel her out of the unit and see the look on her daughter's face when she was finally able to give her mom a hug again for the first time in a month. To me, it was just like the biggest win that we all needed from that unit, because she was the only one who actually got discharged from our unit in the 8 weeks that I was there.
Oh my.
Yeah.
And so you saw a lot of death.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something I'm sure you never get used to.
No, definitely not. You get desensitized to it after a while from being there for so long. It's definitely easy to kind of just, you know, it happens every day, but it's so hard to see, because at the end we were starting to allow family members, if their family members were actively passing away, that they could come up and stand outside the window and like see their family member for the last time if they wanted.
You know, that's the tough part about this illness, is usually when people are taking their last breath, they want to be with family, and that's not the way this works, is it?
No. And that was something that I kept in my mind as I was caring for these people, because if that was my mom, if that was my dad, if that was my grandparent, like I would want someone to hold their hand, even if it couldn't be me. So I prayed over these people every day as I cared for them. And I held their hand and I talked to them just as they were my own family members, to just kind of give them back some sort of sense of humanity and comfort in their time of extreme illness.
Oh, Paige, I don't know how you did this.
It's definitely been difficult to come back and kind of process after all of it, because you just, in the moment, you're just doing it and you do what you got to do. And then now you come home and you just process it and deal with it afterward.
Do you feel like this has forever changed you?
I think so. Not necessarily for the worse, but I definitely appreciate our healthcare system and the nurses I'm around a lot more, because, you know, I met some people from across the United States and we became like a family by the end of this. So I think the ability of humanity to come together and work so closely and support each other is really something to behold. And I think that, you know, we're definitely stronger together. And I think everything that's happening right now in the society needs to, we just need to hold hands and work through this together.
Is there anything that you would like to tell the public about COVID, something that perhaps you want to get across?
I said this at the very beginning. If you have to give up one summer of your life, or you have to wear a mask for one summer of your life, one fall of your life, so that you can be with your family, your grandparents, your loved ones for the rest of your life healthy, it's worth it. Whether you believe or you don't believe that this is real, it's so simple and it's so easy to wash your hands, wear a mask, be conscious of each other. It's so simple, but it's so hard for some people to grasp that it's just a moment in time across your lifespan.
It's great advice. Anything else you want to tell our listeners?
I miss Hastings. It's a cute little town, and hopefully we'll be back close to there soon.
Oh, well, we hope that too. Paige, thank you so much for all that you did. And thanks for calling in today. Our guest is Paige Samuelson Nelson. She is a 2006 Hastings grad. She is a nurse, and we're grateful for her contributions and helping people that she didn't even know with to try to get through COVID-19. So you're not going to move to Canada permanently? I've heard great things about Canada, though.
You know, it's just temporary for my husband's job, but we definitely enjoy being here for the moment.
But what did you tell me before we went on the air? How long is winter?
9 months out of the year.
Okay, all right. Paige, really nice to chat with you. Thank you so much. We appreciate
it.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.